Genesis 25, if we would, for the preaching of the word of God. Genesis chapter number 25. Working our way through this first book of the Bible, verse by verse, taking our time as God will lead us. Look, if we would, at these next verses, and let's move on, if we would, verse number 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we ask that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Take me as your vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for how it doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It just keeps working on us. We thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for making us more and more like Jesus. Now may tonight be no exception. May we be not just hearers of the word, but heeders of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've entitled this section, The Show Must Go On. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, because as best as we can tell, what looks like the main character has just died. And Abraham's death reminds us that no human being is ever the main character in the Bible. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. And we are on the scene at some point in eternity by God's design and providence for such a time as that to fulfill his purpose in his story. Listen to me now. We are not the stars. We're just kind of side characters, right? He's the main character. You say, what is history? History is his story, amen? It's all about Jesus. And from Genesis to Revelation, we're working our way to Jesus. Somewhere around the New Testament at the end of the Gospels, we're going to hit the climax of Jesus' life, and that is the crucifixion and the resurrection. He's going to ascend into heaven and where he is right now making intercession for you and for me. But I want to tell you, he may not be still on planet Earth, but it's still about Jesus. And one day he's coming back, and it's going to be about Jesus then, and then we're going to live with him forever and eternity, and it'll still be about Jesus. So Abraham's time's up. Off the scene he goes. But the show must go on. He has sons that are left. And God is working his way to the Messiah. God is building the bloodline, setting the stage. There's a whole lot of real estate between Genesis and Matthew. And I assure you that none of the real estate is a waste. From the moment that Abraham comes on the scene till the moment that this holiday around which All these decorations and festivities surround when Jesus is born in a manger. God is working out his plan. And by the way, I'm glad that the Bible has a way of making its way from Genesis all the way to Matthew, and God makes sure that the line is never broken. So God shows us that Abraham is gone, but there's continued prosperity. God shows us that his blessings don't stop with the death of Abraham. And by the way, I'm glad that we are living in a day and age that precedes us with the blessings of God. But I'm glad that God didn't just bless in the past, that he does bless in the present. And somebody ought to thank him that even today you were on the receiving end of his blessings. Continued prosperity, the past event of Abraham's death, the present encouragement of God's continued blessings. We find there so aptly put in Genesis chapter 25 that God continued to bless as he had before. And then we see, if you would, the particular environment where Isaac was going to settle, Lahairoi. From there, God gives us not just a continued prosperity, but a concise posterity. He takes time, not because he has to, but because he cares to talk about Ishmael. Now, Ishmael wouldn't be what we call a person with a main role in the movie. But he served a God who was kind enough to give him an honorable mention. And aren't you glad that when your actions have excluded you from a main role, that God still finds a way to work you in? Somebody say amen. And that's a God we serve. That's a God we serve. I mean, we are so good at disqualifying ourselves. We're so good at putting ourselves outside of God's favor. And yet God comments on this concise posterity, his reproduced descendants, his rich distinction, his recorded death, his remarkable dwelling place, the resulting differences that come between him and Isaac. God chose. He's not going to spend a lot of time in Genesis talking about Ishmael, but he doesn't act like Ishmael doesn't exist. I'm glad that God still finds a way to look out for the underdog. And all of us will be there sometime. What a God. What a God. The generations of Ishmael. The Bible tells us how long he lived and where he dwelt between Egypt and Assyria, and he died in the presence of his brethren. They came together. They came together when Ishmael died. And from there, God is going to keep moving. The show must go on. There's Ishmael. Ishmael is the son of Hagar and Abraham. Ishmael represents outside of God's plan. By the way, Ishmael in the New Testament is representing the flesh, that which is done through the flesh. Isaac is representing that which is done through the spirit. Ishmael is the result of a mistake. Ishmael is the consequence of disobedience. Ishmael is the child of sin outside of God's plan. But God said, young man, it ain't your fault that your mama and your daddy messed up, but if you'll do right, I'll still use you. And thank God for mercy. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Isaac, he's the promised seed. He's a chosen one, if you could. Listen. He's the next main character getting us closer to the Messiah. Listen to me. The train's still moving. Aren't you glad that when hiccups come and when loved ones pass and when trials seem to overwhelm us, aren't you glad that God's locomotive doesn't run out of gas and is still moving with Isaac? It's still on track. We're still on schedule. We're still headed to Bethlehem. We're still headed to the Messiah. We're still moving down the bloodline. Genesis is still being inspired by the Holy Ghost of God, even though Abraham has died. So Isaac is different than Ishmael. Ishmael represents the concise posterity. Isaac, if you would, represents the covenant perpetuity. Now God is moving forward. Now, this covenant God made was a contract. This covenant God made was an agreement. This covenant God made was a promise. Now, watch this now. My God, without my help, will keep his promise. But what he has designed is that he's going to mete out his promise through the lives of human beings. He's going to mete out his promise through the line of Abraham. And Isaac is the next person in line to keep the bloodline going for the Jews all the way to the Messiah. Hey, here's Ishmael. He's a concise, he's a concise posterity. He's moving on the sidelines, representing a nation of Arabs on the sideline, but God's got people that are going to be his chosen people, and they're going to be chosen and preserved and protected and provided for and perpetuated, because that bloodline has got to be there when Jesus is born. And so Isaac is God's pawn on God's board to move the narrative closer to the Messiah. Here he comes. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Come on now. Abraham's son. Now, I want you to notice the mentioned characterization of him. Abraham's son. When he mentioned Ishmael, he did call him Abraham's son, but he had to add some parenthetical details to clarify that Abraham's son, watch this now, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. In other words, Ishmael is Abraham's son with an asterisk. Now listen to me, the mercy of God will sometimes come in your life, and what it will do is it will block God giving you what you do deserve. Thank God that mercy keeps God from giving us justice that we do deserve. But I won't tell you something. Although his mercy may block his wrath, you may still have an asterisk. Well, Isaac doesn't have an asterisk. God says about him, he's just Abraham's son. This is how God meant it to be. There's no need for any qualifying statements. Isaac, Abraham's son. He was born the right way. He entered the scene the right way. He was brought into the world the right way. And by the way, I know this ain't deep, but I'd still like to cast my vote in 2018, regardless of how wicked the world has become. I'd like to tell you, I'm still in favor of things being done the right way. Amen. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The right way. I know it's getting old, it's getting stale, it's getting out of style, it's getting unpopular, and in some places, it's even getting illegal. But I'd like to tell you, I'm still 110%, regardless of what everybody else is doing, I'm still Bible-believing, I'm still sin-hating, Savior-loving, Satan-kicking, Spirit-filled living, I'm still voting for the right way. I cast my ballot for the right way. Amen. And Isaac, he is the representation of the right way. So God gives a mentioned characterization about him. But here's what God says. 40 years old he was when he was married. God's continued to characterize Rebekah the wife, the daughter of Bethuel, Syrian for Dan Aram, sister of Laban the Syrian. God's giving this characterization as if to say, listen, this is God's man that did it God's way, and God worked it out because he did it God's way. And this is his wife, 40 years old, he married her, and God found her somewhere else, exactly where God wanted her to be, and brought these two together, and she is linked up with him, and he is a part of the covenant, and God is getting ready to take this covenant child with this chosen spouse, and he's going to move them the direction that God wants them to go. Aren't you glad that there is nobody who's better with the hookups than God? Write in your notes, if you would, there's a motionless condition. This jumped out at me in my study. The Bible says that as Isaac is married to this woman, he entreated the Lord because She was barren. I want to just talk about that for a minute. Barrenness in the Bible time was embarrassment. You understand? We're going to get further down the line of Abraham and Isaac, and we're going to hear another woman that's married to one of these bloodline in Abraham's family. She's going to be so intent on having children that she makes this statement, "Give me children, else I die." The barren womb was an embarrassment. Could I tell you that Rebecca's barrenness was not a result of her sin? Rebecca's barrenness was not a result of her lifestyle. Rebecca's barrenness was not a result of her decision. It just was a stage that God allowed to happen in her life. It was a motionless condition. The thought came to me while I was sitting in my office today. And here's what the thought said. What do you do when you know you are walking in covenant relationship with God, yet your condition is motionless? Because it's going to come. It's going to come. And listen, this is where many Christians stagger in their faith. They cannot reconcile the center of God's will with motionlessness. Watch this now. And the Bible's going to tell us in a couple verses that Isaac was 60 when Rebecca had kids. Now watch this now, lest you skim over verses in the Bible and don't give them their proper credence. Here is the covenant perpetuity. Here's the man in the middle of God's will, in the center of God's plan, at the apex of the storyline, doing exactly what he's supposed to do, and yet in the middle of God's will for nearly 20 years, they can't have a baby. It's right where some of you are tonight. I'm not talking about kids and babies. I'm talking about motionless conditions. God, I don't understand. I'm in covenant agreement with you. I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm where you sent me. I'm engaged in what you gave me the order to do. I'm obedient. I'm reading. I'm praying. I'm tithing. I'm serving. I'm ministering. I'm witnessing. I'm trying. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. God, I'm where you expect me to be. Wait a minute now. Let's do some comparisons here. We just read the concise posterity of Ishmael, and God goes off naming Ishmael's kids just boom, 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 boom. And Ishmael was not a part of the covenant. Now God shifts and starts listing Isaac's perpetuity and said, Isaac's the next scene. And why does it make sense that the one outside the covenant is having kids and the one in the middle of the covenant is not having kids? It is God's indicator in the first book of the Bible that sometimes in the center of God's will, things are at a standstill. And some Christians just don't like it. So they begin to question God. What did Isaac do? Isaac must have been like we would have been. Oh yeah, this is great. We've just come out of Genesis 24, one of the most beautiful matchmaking chapters in all of Scripture. Great scene. Oh, here comes the wife riding on the camel with the servant. And there goes Isaac meditating in the field. And they jump up to meet each other. And the fanfare is there. And they get married. And Abraham's excited. And they live happily ever after. What's next? Let's start a family. Well, it's 5 years. 10 years. 15 years. Watch this now. Are we doing something wrong? Are we doing something wrong? One of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make is getting tired of waiting on God in the middle of covenant Christianity and abandoning the place of God's will because somehow you think just because stuff didn't happen when you wanted it to, you were in the wrong place. Please do not judge the will of God on immediate happenings. Come on. Sometimes it takes 20 years for God to do what he wants to do, not because he couldn't do it sooner, but because he chose not to. And by the way, he can do it when he wants to. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have to do it at all. The fact that he's God means he does what he wants to do. He needs some Christians who will stay where they belong, even when what happens doesn't happen as soon as they think it should. Motionless condition. So what do you do, Isaac? I mean, Isaac has to think in his mind, I know who I am. I know what God has called me to. I know what God promised my father. There's no way for us to complete this covenant unless I have kids. By the way, his daddy made the mistake of trying to help God out when God didn't answer quick enough. How'd that turn out? We're still talking about it. So what do you do when you face a motionless condition? Here's what you do. You do what Isaac did. You make a meaningful cry. Look at the statement. Isaac entreated the Lord. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you what America needs in 2018. We're almost in 2019. We need some people of God who quit running their mouths and will learn how to make the right call. Let me tell you something. When you're in prison and you only get one call, you better call somebody who can do something about your situation. And I'm telling you, I know we long past 25 cents, but I'm just going back there. Some of you wasted your quarter on the wrong person. We're calling everybody. We're dialing up everybody. We're trying to get everybody on the main line. Here's what Isaac said. My wife is barren, and she's been like that for 19 years. There's only one somebody that can open her womb, and that somebody is Almighty God. Some of you are stuck. You're at a standstill. Your situation is motionless. And you're doing everything. You're worrying. You're stressing. You're fretting. You're depressed. Do you pray? Well, Pastor, I know I do, but what? You're talking to God. Listen to me. You have appealed to the highest authority. Where else you gonna go after that? Help me, Lord. Entreat it. And then I want you to know this, what the Bible says. The Lord was entreated of him. I know, you want to go to Webster, you want to go to Strong's, you want to look up the Greek and look for entreated. You do that on your own time, and I bet you'd be encouraged by it. But I'm just going to give you my own little definition. Entreated was Isaac dialed. He entreated the Lord. The Lord was entreated, meaning God picked up. Isaac entreated the Lord. He called. How many have called somebody that wouldn't answer? But in this passage, Isaac called, God answered. Isaac called, God answered. And I'm glad that thousands of years later, we're still calling and he's still answering. Praise his holy name. How did God answer? And Rebecca, his wife, conceived. There was a mentioned characterization. God talked a whole lot more and differently about him than he did Ishmael. There was a motionless condition. She was barren. There was a meaningful cry. He got a hold of God, but thank God there was a miraculous conception. Could I say this? And I hope that one or two of you would loan me an amen. It is possible for God to do a miracle even though you've been praying for it for a long time. It is possible for you to get no for 19 years and get a yes in the 20th. It is still possible for something you had for a long time for God to heal you of it. It is still possible for a prayer list that's been on your prayer list for a long time for God to answer. I'm saying don't quit in the 19th year. You might get your answer in the 20th. I'm saying God still comes through. I think we ought to stop counting God out. We ought to stop tuning God off. And somebody's got to believe that God is able and that God can and that God will. I'm telling you, that barren woman conceived, somebody has got to believe God. He's still doing miracles. Don't count him out. He has to. He has to. We've got to get to Matthew. We're just halfway through Genesis. We got to get to the end of Genesis. Listen, we got to get them Jews stuck in Egypt so we can have an Exodus. Come on. And we got to get them in Exodus so that the death angel can pass by and not kill their children because they had a Passover. And we got to have a Passover so we can get some Leviticals, a Levitical, the principles in the Word of God. And we need Numbers to know how we're going to handle the priesthood. And we need Deuteronomy for the law. We got to get to Matthew. God's got to come through. You stop siding with the devil. You stop siding with the enemy over you. Shame on you to second the devil's motion and not second God's motion. You stop agreeing with the devil about your life. God's vote means more. Too many children of God are siding with the enemy over your destiny. Shame on you to try to give credibility to a liar. Somebody's got to vote where God voted. Well, the devil's got more evidence. Liars always have more evidence because they made it all up. God doesn't need evidence. He's got something better than evidence. He's got essence. Amen. And essence is character. It's nature. He's got a track record. He was good when nobody else was anything. He was good all the time because he always has been. What a God. And here comes God doing it again. Miraculous conception. Mrs. Isaac, Mrs. Rebecca, you're with child. What a celebration it must have been. I don't guess they did test the way they do them now. Two stripes or one stripe or whatever. Pregnant written on the scene in Aramaic. All I'm telling you was, she knew that for 19 years she tried and couldn't. But somehow on the 20th year, she tried and she did. And she knew that it wasn't a result of her trying. It was a result of God's miraculous power. And I want to tell you something. People tell me, does God still do miracles? If you don't know it was a miracle, it probably wasn't. Because when God does a miracle, you'll know sure enough it was a miracle. This woman knew, I'm pregnant. God did it. What a celebration it must have been to the family. She's having a baby. And then she goes, but whoa, something going on in here don't seem right. Huh? Miraculous conception. Write this down. Let me remember what I want you to write down. All right, I haven't preached this one before, so this is hot off the griddle. I don't even know what it tastes like yet, so I got to come back up here and make sure I flip it before it burns. There's a miraculous conception, but there's also a major commotion. Now think about this. I'm sitting here thinking in this passage. Here's what Rebecca's having a hard time. God is kind of, he's not playing with them on purpose, but he certainly is allowing them to experience the twists and turns of the Christian life. Yay, we're married. Woo, yes. We're in the middle of God's perfect will. It's all going to be gravy. And for 20 years, she can't have a baby. Then all of a sudden, 60 years, Isaac is. 20 years into the marriage, she's pregnant. Woo! Finally, now we're back on track. And then she goes, but it don't feel right. I feel like this is not the way I should feel. Now, come on, you know you've been there. God's answered your prayer. You got the loan, you got the house, you had the kids, you got the clean bill of health. You got the miracle. You came back to church, told everybody about it. Everybody celebrated and clapped. And then the stage after the miracle seemed kind of funny. Wait a minute now. I mean, God, you just did something big. This should be a grandiose experience. And then she kind of says, Isaac, something feels a little funny in me. There's a commotion going on. I know the baby should be kicking, but that's a whole lot of kicking. And the major commotion caused, if you would, mysterious confusion in Rebecca's life. I'm almost done. Listen to her voice, her confusion. The children struggled together within her. And she said, verse 22, if it be so, why am I thus? Here's what she's saying. If God just did a miracle for me, why do I feel like this? Have you ever said to yourself, things are going well. We just got blessed. God just answered our prayer. Why do we feel weird? You ever been a stage in your life where you don't have good reasons why things don't feel right, but they don't feel right? Somebody act like I'm all in your business. You don't worry. You're not going to embarrass yourself. It's a whole auditorium of people that been there, done that, and got the journal note, okay? It happens. I don't understand. Why am I thus? From her mysterious confusion, God gives a masterful clarification. Ma'am, there are two babies in there, and those two babies going to represent two nations, and they're struggling against each other. And not only that, the older one going to serve the younger one, and the younger one's going to be over the older one. Watch this now. Here's what God is saying to her. That funny feeling inside of you is bigger than you. Listen to me now. God is not the author of confusion. However, sometimes the work of God results in confusion. Wait a minute, Pastor, you just contradicted yourself. No, I'm saying God didn't give you confusion. But sometimes how he works in comparison to how we think results in confusion. Somebody help me preach. When you throw in the infinite wisdom of God and the finite cray-cray of us, sometimes that plus that equals confusion. And some of you, listen to me now, some of you, if you don't find your way out of confusion, you're going to end up in catastrophe. Well, Pastor, how do I deal with confusion? You get clarification from God. You go to the Bible and you let the Bible slay all of your nonsensical confusion. And you stop letting your personal logic supersede the credibility of the Word of God. Preach, Pastor! I hear people say, I'm closing somewhat. Listen, I hear people say all the time, I just don't understand. Listen, stop saying that. Read the Bible. His ways are not our ways. Listen, ma'am, this ain't just morning sickness. This is not just a little funny little feeling. This is not just crazy hormones. God is working out his plan in your womb. It's two boys. We're gonna spend the rest of the Bible talking about the life of these two boys. These are two nations. The history of God's word is in your womb. Listen to me now. It doesn't mean she felt better, but at least when she didn't feel right, she didn't over panic about it because she knew God was still in control. I'm not saying that when confusion comes that all of those sentiments will go away. I'm just saying the clarity of God's word will outweigh the confusion of your feelings, and even when days don't go well, as long as you know God's in control, you lie back down and wake up again and know he's got me. Amen. It's okay, ma'am. Don't go to the doctor. Don't take no medicine, and don't panic. What's going on in your stomach is bigger than you. And I'm telling you, you're in the middle of something right now in your life. And you may not be able to make sense of it. And I'll tell you why. It's bigger than you. It's a God thing. God's working out something in you right now that's bigger than you. It's not just about you. And it's going to go on when you're gone. Amen. I'm just saying, listen to me. Look, listen to your pastor. Let it ride. Let it ride. Don't change nothing. Don't move nothing. And listen to me. Don't go to the doctor and get an abortion. What are you talking about? I'm simply saying there are children of God who will abort the will of God because they don't like the way it feels. You, listen to me. You will give up an entire future because you can't handle 9 months of misery. Could I tell you, 9 months of pain is worth it. It will give you a future of the favor of God. Some of you are in the middle of a pregnancy stage in the will of God, and you're going to abort God's will before you enjoy God's blessing. I'm saying, let it ride. Rest. If you got to go on bed rest and wait on the Lord, then do what you got to do. But for heaven's sake, don't mess up this pregnancy. The will of God's on the line. And how nice of God to clarify. And sure enough, there were some matched children there, twins. And I won't tell you that God has a way of doing two totally different things in the same person. Let it ride. Stay in God's will. Don't run. Don't abandon the place of safety. Don't evacuate until God gives the siren. He's telling you to stand still. He's working out something. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about these two fellows. They're totally different. Has anybody figured out not long in life that a child can come from the same two parents and be nothing like another child that came from the same two parents? And God has a plan for both of them. And he's got a plan for you. I know. I've never been pregnant before, but I saw my wife do this 1-2 times. Turn a little bit and go, oh, ouch. Maybe today you feel like you're right where God wants you to be, and yet something's going on inside of you that's a struggle. Watch this now. You feel like something's wrong, but you're right where God told you to be. Remember what I've told you before. Don't let your feelings supersede God's facts. You calm yourself down. Speak over yourself. Talk some sense and encourage yourself in the Lord, and let the unchanging facts of the Word of God tell your feelings to chill somewhere, because God is working out his plan. Well, I thought things were at a standstill. Wrong. You forgot who the conductor was. Abraham's dead, and it seemed like he was the man, but there's somebody bigger than man who's in control, and it's Almighty God. It's your turn now. Let it ride, because in the end, the show must go on. Father, help us. Forgive us for siding with the enemy on ourselves. Shame on us. You got a plan. You're working it out. I'm convinced there's some people sitting in the building right now that are going through some stalls, some stalemates, some delays, and they're going, if I'm in the will of God, why be I thus so? I mean, I just envisioned that this was going to be a whole lot smoother than it was. And God says, calm down. It's two nations inside of you. There's a struggle going on. The younger's going to serve the old. The old's going to serve the younger. Hang in there, sister. And I pray the children of God will. In his name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.